Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome to Heart and Soul. We are here again with Annie Ford from New Jersey. She is a host of her own angel show called Angels in Talk. And you can always call in. It's a radio show. So today we were going to talk about loving yourself. And as I, you know, of course, I had a whole week to think about love and loving yourself and how hard that one is for most people to do. I realized that, you know, you say love yourself and everybody says, I do love myself. I do. I take good care of myself. I work out. I eat well. And yet, when it comes to love, they don't feel as if maybe they are lovable, or they are getting the love that they deserve, or that they have anyone in their life to love. So the whole reality is self-love. I was just kind of asking my guides, what is self-love? Tell me how we get it, and when does it come into our consciousness that makes us aware of the self? And I have a son, so I've watched him grow, and I realized as he got to be about, you know, 7 or 8, he was quite aware of himself, his insides, his feelings. I think, and before that, it was more every moment took him into a different place. You know, when they're small, they're just so in the moment, and they really aren't conscious of themselves, their personal self. So it's real interesting because I really was thinking self-love is something that really is like a seed that you start to develop at a very young age. And you nurture it, or your parents nurture it, the school system possibly, your good teacher will nurture it, your friends will nurture it, and it starts to grow. And you start to think to yourself, gee, I am lovable, and it feels good to love. So at that same moment of realizing that love is something that you enjoy feeling, that actually brings, I think, a consciousness up that says, self-love, I need to do this for myself. Because as you want someone else to do it for you, to love you, then you are aware that you are loving yourself in the same way. So Annie's on the line. We're going to start to talk to her about it. Hold on a sec. Hi, Annie. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you today?
How are you? I was just talking about self-love, and it was really interesting because, like, you know, we put that on the blog that that's what the angels want us to do, and I was really getting to quite aware that that one is not as easy as it sounds.
Not at all.
And why is that? That is the hardest one that I think most people have, is to really feel a great sense of love for themselves. And so what would you think the angels, what do they say about this?
Well, I was listening to what you were saying, how it does begin when you're born, and as you grow up, the people that are in your lives, that's mm-hmm. where you first learn of love. And it does depend on who is bringing you up and who you come in contact with.
Mm-hmm.
I had an angel message today, which is loving yourself is the only key to open the gates. And I think when we're young, we're so, it's that vulnerability that we have mm-hmm. that even if someone is, say, not being so loving to you, we still, because being so young, we have that, we recognize the divinity in us mm-hmm. that we're born with. Because I know as we grow older, we lose that memory of how truly divine and beautiful and pure we are inside.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a child, no matter what happens to them, they still look at the person who they are in contact with as a loving being
mm-hmm.
versus
That's
when.
That's so true.
So
when does the, my reality was that there was like a veil that comes over people, and that stops them from loving themselves at that divine level and seeing that love in another human being. And I don't know if it's just that the planetary consciousness does that to us, that, you know, starts to kind of pull you back from that divine place that you originally came in as, you know, that beautiful light being. And I don't know where it changes that this becomes a difficult thing to recognize in yourself. And it was real interesting because it really got the question up. I asked many girlfriends about love. Well, what do you think about love, and how do you feel about love, and do you love yourself? And they'd say, yeah, I love myself. Well, how do you know you love yourself? Well, I take care of myself. I, you know, eat well. And then I said, well, let's go deeper. Do you love yourself for who you are inside, like for how you feel about the world, about your family, about how you feel mostly about yourself? I'm going to ask that question. And I'd say probably half of them did not feel they loved themselves. They said, no, I'm very critical. I am always, you know, not looking at what's wrong with what I'd like to have, you know, happening in my life, or how I'd like to be, or... They really had such self-judgment, and then I realized that the judgment was what stopped them from loving themselves just as they are, as this divine, beautiful, shining light. Just like you said, just as that child is, so are you. You know, that's the truth, isn't it?
That's so true. That's the key right there. It's the judgment and I find that it's just so easy to do.
All these messages, if you listen to the news, if you watch, listen, even pick up a magazine, it is telling you that something's wrong, that something's not right, mm-hmm. that the world is falling apart, and you know, and it really starts to put fear in your beautiful, shiny, you know, life. And it starts to shut down the trust that it takes to feel that self-love, because you have to trust yourself. You have to know that you're going to be okay, right? You have to know that I'm one with spirit and spirit's one with me, and I am just beautiful just the way I am. It does take some kind of trust that you have inside to feel that about yourself. Because I think that what happens is the ego comes in. I don't know if you see this. The ego comes in, and it looks like they are loving themselves, but it really is almost a big wall of defense. You know? I'm so great, and I'm so good, and nobody's good enough for me. You know, it becomes not self-love, but it becomes a defense to not let love in. Because when you have this great big ego that's saying, I'm the greatest, I'm really good, that's not really what we're talking about. We're talking about divine self-love. Like you and God are one. That is pure. That is like a child kind of love. It doesn't really have a lot of thinking. It just, you feel it more than you think about it. Don't you think, Annie?
No.
Don't you feel it? You don't even have to think about it. It's like in your quiet moments of taking your breath in and taking it out, all of a sudden you feel one with this oneness, with this beauty, with this energy that exists within you. So it doesn't really have ego attached. It doesn't even have, I think, a word sometimes. It just is. And love just is. So, you know, somebody asked me, how come one person could love somebody and the other person might not love that person? And I realized everybody loves, you know, I mean, everybody is in love. That's their nature, is to be a loving, beautiful, shining light. If you shut yourself off to another person because of judgment, again, right? We judge all the time. Yeah, one time we were doing this thing one time, and we noticed how many times we judge a person or something
and
within like 10 minutes. It's like amazing.
It's so much. And
it's too much. It stops it. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Every little thing I noticed. Here I'm thinking, you know, I don't try. I be just who I truly am inside every day I wake up. And I did try that with the judgments of how do I judge. I look at things and go, oh, my gosh, I just judged that.
I know, and you don't even realize how much you're judging every little thing. That just goes, I mean, that's just, so that judgment is stopping you from loving that person that you just judged. It's just a big wall came right up, and you judged the person, so guess what? You didn't get a chance to see their light or love them. Because of our minds, because we are always constantly working that judgment piece all the time, we really just don't get to that quiet place that looks at that other person with just ease and beauty and no judgment. It really takes a little bit of a lot of consciousness, actually, don't you think, Annie, really stay aware of how your mind is stopping you from being aware of another person's divinity or your own. Matter of fact, mostly your own. Because if you can see your own, that's where it begins. If you can see your own divinity, if you can say, I am a shining light, and what I do and what I say to myself and how I feel about myself matters to how my world is going to be affected, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's simple, but that's not easy. We're saying it like we understand it's not an easy thing to do. But it's the only way to move on out of this, of the victim role, of the place that is not feeling this self-divine love that it should be feeling. I mean, this is why we're here, to be as bright and shining as we possibly can be. If we have judgment, it does not allow for that light to really shine through and for you to be this example. And it's real interesting because as I was working this piece over the week, Annie, it's really interesting how even I got to see to myself, gee, you know, everybody is in their own situation based on how they feel about who they are, right?
Right.
And it really goes right back to how they have internalized themselves. And it usually goes back to the wound. So everybody has a wound. I mean, some people really live through it, you know. They're angry about it. They have a lot to say about it. And they hold on to this wound like it is like, you know, who that they pull this out and that's who you see in the world. And it could be a wound that makes them angry. It could be a wound that makes them weak. It could be a wound that doesn't trust anybody around them because somebody, you know, they trusted hurt them. So the wounds of a child are the first kind of indication of not letting love out. So as soon as you pull back, you've put everybody out there and yourself in here, and now we're separate. Right, so being separate is the biggest problem we have in this planet right now. You know, we look at everybody as black and white and this religion and that religion, and yet we are all human beings living this amazing experience. We are all one. There is no separation, I'm sorry to say, but we are all one. Don't you agree? The angels will definitely agree with that one.
Yes, they will.
Yes, they will. And what we need to kind of get is that if we can stop the judgment right off the bat, even when you see yourself judging anything, the weather, judging how someone, I don't like that pants they have, just, you know, giving your little criticism of your life, just try to say cancel. That's what I'll do. I'll catch myself and I'll just say cancel. And the next minute, take a breath, and I just feel my breath come back into my body, and I feel my own heart chakra kind of open up, and then guess what? I can see them.
Yeah.
Because I am clear that if I move away my judgment on anything, I can see their beautiful divine self in front of me. Always. It's just the truth. And I don't know if you have that. Let's see with the angels. Do the angels have anything that they can share that may help people get to this non-judgment place? You think?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, my thought process is when I was thinking about this throughout the week is because I noticed about myself, I do try. It's every thought I have. And it's moment by moment that I think I think love each time. Mm-hmm. Love is the answer to everything. It's an easy word. If you just
I know, it's
love,
the easy word, but it's
a
hard one.
Word. Thank goodness it wasn't spelled with 10, 15 letters.
That's a lot of work. Yeah, it should have like a thousand letters in it because it's probably very hard for most people.
I think the first thing is becoming one with yourself, because it does start with yourself. Because
mm-hmm.
once you realize what you have inside of you, that divineness, if you want to call it God, if you want to call God is in each every one of us. And mm-hmm. once you realize, or you could just say that big light, we have this huge light in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
If you just think of that light and know that you are that shining light you're supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
that's the first step, is to go within. And
mm-hmm.
then that's when the angels start coming around you. They are always around us. Even if you don't acknowledge them at all,
mm-hmm.
they are with you. And once you open that up, they actually will step in and open the gates for you, for the people that you come across during your path throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
They will go up to their angels and say, hey, let's spread some love around here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that little thing. It's just that little thing. I compared it to this. One day, years ago, I read about when recycling started. And I read how, don't throw away that glass bottle. Put it in the recycle bin. And I thought, oh, well, little old me, by throwing one bottle out, it's not really going to do anything. But then
mm-hmm.
I thought I saw the whole picture, and I was like, wow, if everyone did it, there's at least a million people in the world, a million bottles. So I compared it to that in a way.
I like that, Annie. I like that, how you can't just think, well, if I do that and no one else is doing it, then I'll be the only one doing, seeing through, you know, the eyes of love in a sense. And yet it's the only way to get your spirit aligned to this beautiful light that you are, is to really touch base with it all the time. You know, is to really say good morning to it, good afternoon to it. You know, walk with it, breathe with it, really get connected to it so that it is who you are. And that you are not identified with your ego. You know, the ego and the divine, you know, the ego is the one that wants to be right, that wants to kind of, you know, have the last say, that wants, you know, to see itself as bigger, better than everybody else. And that's the ego.
Mm-hmm.
Divine love wants unity. It wants us to be one. It wants us to be joyous always, together, on the same page. You know, viewing each other the same way, seeing each other through the same eyes. It wants unity. It doesn't want separation. So if you are feeling separate, that's your ego. It's a good way to know that my ego is kicking in here. Because if I think, poor you, or oh, that guy, then I'm in my ego. But if I can look and see that person and say, he's a beautiful guy, look at that, he's just shining, he's got a great smile. You know, find that the energy of that person in a sense. Don't even look at the personality. I always think that to myself. Oh, that's just the personality. Because really, the personality is a layer over the divine self. It's not the real person. If you can just try to penetrate through the personality, just look at that beautiful shining heart that came in as a beautiful, clean vessel when it was born. I always say, just look at it like it's a baby. You know, I don't care who's in front of you, with loving eyes like a mother would, you know, and you can start to do that with everyone you meet, because there isn't, I don't know, Annie, have you ever met anyone that you didn't like? I have to say, in my whole life, I don't have one person that I really hated. I never hated anybody. I just, you know, maybe I didn't like how they were acting, and I always came to a place of forgiveness, and I feel very clean about that. But there are people out there who really hate a lot of people, And when you hate someone, it takes a lot of energy away from you. Every time you hate somebody, guess what? Your light gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. The more resentment you have, the more stories you hold on to, the smaller your light gets. And so I really know that the angels, or this show, is about looking deep into yourself that says, I am this beautiful light. I have always been this beautiful light. Nothing has ever changed it. Only my vision of myself. And that's just what it is, just a vision. It's not the truth, you know? I mean, think about it, Annie. Could somebody tell you when you look at a child that child is a horrible being? Right? Could you ever look at a child and say, oh, what a horrible little baby that is? Or, oh, he's, you know, how could you ever? You just don't even have the capacity to look at an infant that way because they are so pure. Well, so is everyone here. The only thing that's made us not see it is because we are so attached to the ego, the stories, the things that take away us from seeing really to the real self, the real people that come. When I was in India, Sai Baba is a guru, a wonderful guru, and I love him dearly. But what I witnessed him do, Annie, was just be able to really see everybody as the beautiful essence energy that they are. And there was just pure love coming from him. There was no judgment, just pure love. It was the most beautiful thing I have ever witnessed. And I only hope to, you know, excel to that level. I really do. I only hope that I could someday learn to have that clear way of seeing another soul. You know. So we have many callers, Annie. Do you want to start taking them? Yes, let's do it, love. Hold on. All right, let's. Okay. Hi, you're on Heart and Soul. Who am I talking to? Hello, 203.
Oh, hi. Oh, you're talking to me. I didn't realize that. I'm sorry.
I am. We just started taking calls. That's okay.
Oh, I didn't know whether you're taking questions or readings or what are you doing?
We are doing anything that, you know, feels right. So if you called for a reading, we can do a reading. If you have a question or even a story about something that you'd like to share, it's all good.
Right now, I guess I've been having a feeling I was going to hear from somebody from my past from a long, long time ago, and I thought I wanted to see if you saw anything about. Actually, no, let me cross that out. Sorry, cross, erase. I'm trying to find out about my daughter. My daughter is looking to go to Korea to teach in August, and I wanted to see if you see anything around that. How's that?
Okay, sure. Annie, do you have your cards? Do you want to pull a card for to see what they say, or do you just want to see what they
sure.
say?
Sure. It's funny, right before she started talking, I started writing August down. Well, it's not funny.
So August is when she would go, is that correct? She would
before
go in August?
That's when she's looking to go. That's also when she's born, too. So.
Oh, okay, good.
Well, what's,
okay.
What's her name?
Her name is Tiffany.
Tiffany. Okay, Korea. Okay, so family came up. Steady progress. Okay, it seems like, yes, I pulled a card that said steady progress, which would indicate that it is moving in that direction. Then let me read it. It says, we acknowledge you for the progress you've made in remembering love in your daily activities. Anyway, but when you have put like a loving feeling or towards this, like do you want her to go? Is this something that you...
I mean, that's her choice to go. I mean, I have my own fears about it because of the current, you know, political climate. And she was in Japan before, but she had her boyfriend with her. This time she'd basically be on her own, you know. So I'm a little bit leery about that.
Yeah. So joy came up, and what do you desire? So I guess the angels are telling me that your concern is their concern. You know, because they're hoping that, you know, this would not in any way make you unhappy. So Mm-hmm. I think that what I would say to do is sit with this one and see if it's, if you want to send the angels in and say, hey, could you please help me, under, you know, be okay with this, be at peace with this for her, and see that she would only have a great experience and a learning experience, and it would be safe for her, and really get into a place that you are seeing this from that place, okay? Because mm-hmm. if you are worried about it in any way, it's mm-hmm. kind of negating it, and it's kind of sending out different messages, if you know what I mean.
Oh,
universal
okay.
messages, okay? So if you really want,
I've
want
been trying
you to
be
get
neutral.
Clear.
I've been trying to be neutral about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, neutral's help. Good, but sometimes mm-hmm. we kid ourselves and we think we're being neutral, but we really have a lot of stuff under there. And
okay.
I got entrepreneur, so it feels like, yes, it would be a new beginning for her to do something
uh-huh.
like this.
Uh-huh.
Let's see, daydream. So it goes into a place that it's just temporary. They're trying to tell me it's just something that she's going to do, kind of thing.
Right.
You know, it's not. You know, it's going to happen, just like going on a trip, a little bit of a longer trip, but a trip.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can kind of lighten up the focus on it and let it be
mm-hmm.
just that, and
mm-hmm.
I believe then, yeah, change in direction, yes, it's going to happen. So
okay.
they're really telling me yes on this one. So I have a feeling, yes, she's going to go. But for you, because it's your daughter and you have such love and concern for her, I really want you to get to a place of really peace and joy for her. Okay,
mm-hmm.
joy
mm-hmm.
and excitement for her. So, because if you can hold that vision for her, then it's even bringing it to a higher level for the whole thing to be at this higher level.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
you know what I mean? So I want you to see her having the best time. I want you to see her, you know, getting the call, calling you up, saying, Mom, I've got in, you know, I'm going to go, and it's going to be a great experience. And then see her there and see her having, meeting wonderful people. I want you to see it and really
mm-hmm.
get behind the energy of what you see. Okay.
Okay.
Because that's going to help you accept this and let it be a beautiful experience for everybody, you know,
okay.
instead of a worried experience for you. Yeah.
Right.
So,
what,
Annie,
good.
Do you see anything? Yeah. Do you see anything for you, Annie?
Well, I drew the angel card of playfulness, and before
mm.
I pulled the card, I got the impression angels were showing me does your daughter, Tiffany, is she like a workaholic of sorts?
That sounds more like me. I don't know about, I mean, I think she probably, she's pretty industrious, you know, and there's a lot she has to do to try to accomplish this. It's very bureaucratic, you know, a lot of paperwork, if that's what you mean. I don't know.
Well, I could,
mm-hmm.
Maybe this card is for you. Maybe it's more important for you. That you need, the angels are setting the stage for you to do some little relaxation and go back to your inner child and relax and take a walk through nature
mm-hmm.
to get in touch with your oneness because you worry too much. But I saw that they were showing me, I was going to ask you, is your daughter in some type of arts? You know, the arts. They showed me dancing and
really?
Like a celebration of sorts. I know August did come up that, yes, if she's her mind is set to, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of her path right now. She's
mm-hmm.
exploring so much, she doesn't want to pass up on any great opportunities. So
mm-hmm.
these are all great stuff, but
she tends to be a writer, and in the past she's been in the theater and she's also written plays, but moved away from that.
See, they were showing me that she she might be going
well,
back to that, because right away mm-hmm. I saw a stage with
okay.
dancers.
Unless she does that, they I don't know about her dancing, but.
Well, I saw dancers. I didn't say.
But she write. You know, like some people go to a doctor's office and bring a book with them to read.
Uh huh.
She would write.
Because I instantly said they were like she's in the performing arts. She It was pretty
before
interesting.
The
loss? Mm-hmm. So maybe that's her playtime. She needs to, if she seems to over maybe stress on things, that she should just, that's
well,
what she does.
They're in the process of hiring her, and it's to teach English.
Okay.
So maybe she would be working with, in that capacity. You know, maybe the kids would do a play or something like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I bet. That would be great. If she's that, no, she's pretty creative. I could see her doing that. I just got 6 months, so I have a feeling that she won't be there that long. She's just going to go over
oh,
for
really?
A six-month period. Yeah, and just kept coming up 6 months, 6 months. So she may go over there and try it out and see what she feels, how she feels about it, and realize that it's not where she wants to be. So I don't feel it's a long-term thing. I think that
it's
just
going to
be.
Oh, so you were getting.
Yeah,
I
got
6 months to be there, not 6 months that she would have to wait 6 months before she goes.
No,
there,
I
right?
got that she's, well, when she gets the position, she's only going to be doing it for 6 months. That's what I got. And it's not going to be, for some reason, she's not going to stay. But it felt like it was her choice. She wanted to come home kind of thing. And it felt like when I thought about it, it felt like it was because of a male. A proposal.
Oh.
Yeah, marriage. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay,
well, yeah,
sorry about that. Sorry about that if that wasn't
yeah,
a good thing. But
he's
that's what...
going, yeah, he's going in another, he's with her, but he got a scholarship to go to school in Canada for graduate school.
Oh.
So they're sort of, this would be the first time they're going in different directions in a while. And I'm sure.
Well, that could be why what I'm getting is, the direction isn't going to be for a long time that they're separate. It's going to be a six-month period, on both ends, and then they're going to realize they really want to be, you know, that's when the
right.
decision-making will start to happen. And I
well,
did see, I did
is it
see
a long
marriage,
case?
Yeah.
Is it a long
yeah,
case?
No, no, they're going to decide and then within that year be getting married, yeah. It felt very,
oh,
very quick
well,
and it was what they
oh,
wanted.
You're saying it's quick, it's not a long engagement.
Yeah, well, I mean it within the next year. So she's going to go, the job will come to her. This is what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to go for the job, get it,
mm-hmm.
and then go. And then stay for about 6 months. During that 6 months, she's going to really, her boyfriend is going to mean a lot more than the job and the experience, and she's going to decide to come back and be with
uh-huh.
him. And that's uh-huh. when they will decide to get married, probably within a 6 months after that. So it's not like right away, you know, it's not like
okay.
right this second. But I do see that coming. I really do. I have to say that
wow.
is going to play. And it says play. And just said play out. Yes, time to go. Yeah, she's going to definitely do some soul searching. And,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to lead her back to her heart and to a wedding, yes, sir, absolutely. So, yeah, I would not be surprised if that's within the next, you know, maybe year and a half or so, because it's going to take a bit to get the job and then to go, and it's going to be a little bit down the road, but this might be the turn that brings her back. And so,
right.
Yeah, and it's all good. It's all really good. It's just life experiences, you know. It's all just,
well, that's true.
You know, wonderful experiences too, you know.
That's great.
And, yeah. Well, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank
and we're
you.
Gonna, you can listen as all you'd like, and
oh,
we're
yeah.
just going to take another call. Is that okay?
Okay, that's fine. If I hit the
all
one,
right.
then does that make room for another person to call in? I don't. I'm thinking.
Well, you know, I don't know. You can listen to it just
okay.
through.
Okay.
I think, but you can stay on too. It doesn't matter. We
okay.
they keep circuiting. So okay, don't worry about that.
Thank you.
All right, bye, love.
Bye-bye.
Hi, Annie. We're going to take another caller. Hold on.
Okay.
Hi. You've reached Heart and Soul. Hold on a second. One second. Oh, I'm sorry. This switchboard is sticky today. Okay, there we go. Hi, you've reached Heart and Soul. Who am I talking to? Hello?
Hi, this is Tina.
Hi,
this
Tina.
Is Tina.
How are you?
I'm
Hi,
good.
Tina.
How are you guys doing?
We're good. How are you today?
Enjoying the show. Very much, and
uh-huh.
Was wondering if you guys could pick anything up from my angels, if they have any messages for me or want me to think about anything.
Sure. All right, let's see. Tina. Okay. All right. Mm. doing my cards. If you would like to go, Annie, go ahead.
Okay. I'm trying to sort out what her angels are saying.
Okay.
They're throwing a few things my way.
Yeah, I just pulled new partner for you. New partner and life purpose. Now, life purpose is a very important card when you pull that one. It means that you have gone through, I'm going to say hell in a handbasket. It means you have had tough times. You have really gotten to the core of yourself. And when life purpose comes up, that is what it usually means. You have been introduced to your soul, let's put it this way, which is a good thing. You know, it's usually through a big experience. It could be illness. It could be divorce. It could be something that really shakes your world and makes you see things clearer, in a sense, on what really matters.
Yes.
The next card was the ocean. Okay, ocean comes up. Ocean means that it's like the deep blue sea. It's telling me that your soul is healing and it's soothing you. Even the act of imagining the ocean is a healing thing. It's like the womb. It brings this wonderful, relaxing effect. So that's what they're saying, to think of the ocean, to have this sense of renew. So that would make me feel that you are on the upswing of your life purpose, which was this big healing. So that means that, you know, you are in rebirth. You are coming into a new place, and it says see only love. So what that is telling me is also that you're just kind of at this new place of saying, now what do I do? Now what is I've gotten through the worst, and now what do I do with this amazing transmutation, in a sense, you know. So is any of this making sense to you?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yes. Okay, Tina. Okay, next one is Cupid. Cupid came. Now, love is, again, you had two cards, one with new partner and one with Cupid. So I would guess that there is a lot of love around you, and that would make me think that, too, that you are a very loving person and you have a lot of love around you. And when a big ordeal happens in your life, I think you get to see how many people love you. And maybe this experiencing has brought you to that place, you know, of really being so grateful for the love in your life. And so, let's see, creative project. So next thing would be that they are saying that there is a creative project coming your way. Creative, something that you will be doing that will use this life experience to help others, or in a sense to help you, because when you help others, you help yourself, you know. So are you a very creative person?
Yeah, I'm actually writing about everything I've been through when it comes to encounters, things I never really talked about. Started at age 4. For me,
mm-hmm.
even a near-death
experience. And so this is good. So this is where your creative project is really going to take form. So, again, it came in as a child. I just pulled another card, and it's a child. So I'm guessing that the child energy, the one that is the creative force in you, the one that wants to write and draw pictures and be creative, is going to be helping you with this creative project, if you know what I mean.
That's great.
So keep her alive, you know, keep her active, move her around, make her play more, you know, she'll give you more insight if you can really play with your inner child, the one that, you know, that has seen what it sees, that knows what it knows, you know. So, and that is the, I'm going to say intuitive, I'm picking up that you are an indigo child, and you probably have had amazing experiences, but no one ever quite knew, right, what they were. I'm like, they're telling me, yeah, she's one of you, Betty. Okay, so, which is wonderful. I'm getting that is what you finally popped out of the bubble, you know, and you're going to start to recognize it within yourself and use it as who you are. Yes, shower of abundance, they're telling me. So they're going to be giving you a lot of insight and a lot of love to have this happen for you. Okay, Tina? They're going to really instruct you on how to move this out of thought and into reality. and put it into a book form or put it into your experience that others can hear and really connect with. So this is very powerful.
I'm trying to write it in a way that people's defenses won't be up,
right,
where they think they're going to be entertained, and what will happen is validation, support, guidance, and healing will come from it.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not come from all of the chapters, but I'm hoping that at least one of the chapters will touch somebody and make it be
exactly
something. I want it to be really creative, and I've been working on it for a couple of years. But you were connecting 100% with what I'm going through, because I was just thinking today, wow, I was so used to closing my eyes for so long and just like getting through an encounter, waking up, and just going about my day and not really talking about it or even
mm-hmm.
really thinking about it too much.
Mm-hmm.
And it took 40 years before
40.
I finally...
Oh,
40
you know,
years.
It's been seeking. It's been sleeping out, you know what I mean? You're like a slow balloon, you know?
Well, it's
energy. You are beautiful light, so I'm sure it maybe wasn't recognized by your soul at this level, but it was definitely recognized, you know? So I always say, you know, we don't want to put everything in that one basket if it's, oh, I've never done. But you have been a very beautiful instrument, in a sense, for lots of people to get who they are. And so I think that's something you have to know, that their guides are saying, yeah, she's been doing this. But I think that maybe you are now doing it with an aware self, which is a big difference, you know. I mean, I was always psychic. I was a psychic kid my whole life. I was always seeing the other side. I didn't know what to do with it, you know. So I became a massage therapist. I became a cranial. And I could stay in that realm and work my gift, in a sense, to the world. But I never talked about it. So, you know, just like
yeah.
you are talking about this now,
something
Tina,
just like you.
Yeah, it's
like,
happening with everybody. This is where we're not going to. You're not going to be able to be quiet. I hate to tell you, but this is why the
yeah, you're
people
right.
are here. This is why you came. Everything else before this moment is just it was just like the ladder that took you up to this higher place. So you're here. Welcome. You know, that's the whole message. Welcome. Be as shiny. Be as bright. Be as loud. Be as beautiful. And don't be afraid to talk and to speak your truth, because it's needed. It's totally needed, okay?
Mm-hmm. It was the
yeah.
love that I, deep, deep love
mm-hmm.
that I have for a family member who made a lot of choices that didn't resonate.
Mm-hmm.
For him, it wasn't for his own good or his higher self's good, and I watched something negative. I could actually see the attachment, and no one else could see it but me. And
mm-hmm.
that was 2 years ago. And out of that experience, a wonderful blessing happened, which I like to say hidden blessings, because I started to ask questions. I thought, this has been going on my entire life, where I have pleasant encounters. That was the first one that sort of it sort of shook me, but I quickly regained who I am, and I know that I have a right to be here, and it hurts me when I think of other people who harm other people, so I stood up to it, and I didn't allow fear in, and I told it to leave. And I found out how strong I actually was in that situation, and then it just sort of, I can't seem to get enough knowledge, and I've had many, many encounters in the past 2 years,
mm-hmm.
but it began at 4.
Oh,
and yeah. I just wouldn't talk about them. They were pleasant and comforting. They, you know, I had a lot of angels visit me when I was little and going through a really rough time. And I just sort of kept it to myself, because I knew not everybody. By the reactions I got from my family members, I knew not to talk about it. But it was just something I didn't really think too much about. I just sort of used it to gauge who to talk to and who to steer clear away from, depending on the negativity that would come from a person or now I'm thinking, wow, I spent so much time closing my eyes and not questioning it that I didn't realize, but I do now, and
mm-hmm.
I don't want to see anybody feel alone or afraid or feel like they don't have anyone that can maybe understand. And so I'm hoping, you know, that some good will come out of me just sharing what my life's been like.
Oh, absolutely, Tina. We have a whole host of, I mean, children that don't know why they are the way they are. But, you know, because we are the 40-year-old indigo kids that, you know, had to kind of be the first in the world that had to deal with this. And actually, I have 50 and 60-year-old indigo friends. And they were really they were the first ones that broke through into this other reality that made sense. And everybody knew it. So it had to be a unified theory, in a sense, you know, that everybody was seeing this and feeling this and knowing this. And so I realized that they were the first, you know, they are probably the matriarchs of the indigo kids, you know. But a lot of the teenagers today, I can see that they're having issues with understanding and how to validate themselves in the power that they have, because nobody in the world does it. Churches won't do it. Schools don't do it. So there has to be a place, even through a book of yours or through a place like a web page or a hotline or something, that these indigo young kids from between 12, 11 on up could have somebody that can recognize their gifts and help them with utilizing them for the planet, to help us. We need these kids. These are powerful beings. We don't want to put them, you know, we don't want to shove them off to the side. They are needed to help sustain this planet for the next millennium. You think about it. So if we can ignite their light, if we can turn them on and say, we hear you, what do you think about this? What can you help us, you know, heal at a higher level, bring in better vibrations into a planet that needs it? Utilize these kids, and because they are powerful kids. These are kids that are very powerful. And the reason they're starting, I believe, and this is something I have witnessed, kids go into drugs because drugs initiate a place of knowing. When you do a drug, you know what it does? It's like a plastic grape. It takes away the veil and it makes them know who they are inside. But it's a drug. So guess what? It goes away. They have to now keep doing the drug to recognize their beautiful self and their beautiful spirit. And they have to do more drugs to recognize their other. And they have to keep doing this. And all it is, it's not letting them do the chin up into heaven. It's just letting them stay at this really weird level, you know, of unconsciousness. But it's a better consciousness than they have in the normal awakened state that they're in, you know. So that's why they're doing it. And that's the draw of ecstasy and all that, one of those drugs that kind of open the mind and the heart and all that. It's because they get an opportunity to see who they really are without all the mantles that have been put in front of them, you know. And so we need, as a group of indigo people, to start to talk and let them see that they don't have to go that route. They can try through dance, through meditation, through art, through music, to let that spirit be its divine self, but without any harm to the body, you know, or to the mind, or to the spirit mostly. So I know, Tina, that might be where you're needed, you know, where the direction.
You're right. I've been thinking about later, once I'm understanding more about how to use my own abilities, because I have telepathy as well and a wide range of abilities, and once I can have a better understanding, which I feel like I've grown about a foot this year, once I understand more and more, usually what I say, because I have two children who are very gifted, the more mommy understands, the more I'll share, I believe you, and we'll figure this out together. Because if I sense somebody immediately, my child will tell me who it is, where they're standing, what they're wearing, and yeah, and I'll see them if they choose to show themselves to me, but I always feel them first, and then I try to be really quiet and still because I don't want to alert anybody in the room, you know, because I'm a protective mom. But my son was 18 months when he started to tell me who it was. I knew as a baby, somebody's waking him up. I knew it.
Yeah.
He would, as soon as I'd leave him alone, they'd go right in. But
So if you know who it is, though, right? You know, it's
he has
like,
a lot of
I
angels
got,
around him.
Yeah, but I just feel a masculine energy around you. So
yes, his
like
grandfather.
Yeah, okay, he's a grandfather. And that's who it is most of the time. So, you know, that's good. It's a really beautiful, loving energy. But if you feel that your child is just too open for his own sake, because they are little like vessels of open energy, and sometimes they do get scared, and they do want to be with you at night, and they can't sleep alone, and my son does this all the time.
That's
he's 11. They just
yes.
cannot be alone. They need your energy. So please don't deny them of your safety, because you being the mother that you are, being the shield that you are, will protect them from anything negative coming in and in a sense hurting them. I really do see that sometimes energies, they're out of body and they're not very nice. And if for me, I kick them right out. But the thing is, I know what I'm doing, right? So if you're a young child and you're seeing this, you don't know, and it's scary. So I don't know. I really get, I'm kind of angry at the fact of somebody told parents that it's not okay if your kid sleeps with you. I don't know where that's written, but I do know that if your child needs you in the middle of the night, it's because they are being bothered or afraid of what they are coming in contact with, possibly, because they are indigo kids and they're very open, and that's when they will get, in a sense, I think they'll feel more things at night because they're quiet. So please,
you
parents.
You just gave me validation. For what I've
let them be. Yeah, that's what's going on with them. And then what happens is the poor child, now you make that child go back in that room alone, you know, and you keep pulling away the safety that your energy is cloaking and protecting that child from any negative energies that's coming into the place. So let them decide. They will decide when they get strong enough, psychically strong enough, that it's okay for them to sleep alone. It will happen. It really will.
I have a lady chair.
Yeah, I always, again, you know, before they go to sleep, send your angels in. I put one, you know, Angel Michael always, I always send him in. I send all my guides. I've you know, done work where I have actually given pictures of my guru and said, put this under the bed, you know, of your child. It will help. Any negative energies will stay away. And sure enough, the child starts sleeping through the night. So, it's because we are the keepers of these wonderful lights. They are too young yet to understand. So as we understand more, we need to protect them, in a sense, from things that would scare them until they know. Until they know that they're powerful, that they're beautiful, that there is nothing that really could hurt them. You know, I mean, no. I mean, sometimes I've actually not wanted to be in a place because these energies, that was their space. I want to get out of here, you know. And I really don't belong there. And that's how I've really witnessed it. Like, okay, this is where they want to be, and I don't need to be in their place. So I just leave, you know. And I think that that's where you're at, Tina. This is a big, beautiful experience for you, but this is where you're teaching. And I think your next level of understanding is going to have to go and to help other mothers, other people who have these indigo kids, you know.
That feels really right with me, because I was actually quite surprised about – 2 years ago, I was like, that's it. You're going to sleep with us, because he would always wake up and end up sleeping with us anyway. So I took a lazy boy chair and put it right next to our California King, so it's like an extension of our bed. Uh-huh. And what happened is, as soon as different energies would come in, sometimes they were angelic, most of the time they are, I would sit up and be like, no wonder he's not sleeping.
I know.
You know, 5 years old, he needs to sleep.
My son
tomorrow.
Is 11, Tina. He's 11. He will not sleep alone. He is such a vessel of energy. Everybody's around him. He's like, we used to call him Little Buddha. But he has this beautiful, open, loving energy. And, of course, at night is when they would come. And he'd say, Mom, I had the strangest dreams. And I said, yeah, it's okay. You know, so now, instead of pretend that he's going to go to bed, I just say, I'll lay with you. And you can fall asleep if I have to do my things, or, you know, go on the computer. I get up, and as long as he, and in the middle of the night, it's so funny, he reaches over to feel if you're there.
Yes, that's exactly what
he's sleeping,
what mine
but
does.
He needs to know that where he is, that he's safe, that you're there, you know?
It's we do a circle of protection. We call it the white light of Christ consciousness, and I let him pick the colors sometimes, and we call in our angels, and then we say out loud, you know, he's sleeping now, and so we need for him not to be disturbed, and you know, please, angels, don't show yourself. It's okay to be here, but he gets scared, and I know that you don't mean any harm. And if there is anyone that's not from the light, you're not welcome. And I have
right.
to tell
Wonderful.
You, there have been many times that
yeah.
I got up and thought, oh, my gosh, I'm out. Because it's
know.
The mama bear.
Believe me, I, you know, Tina, I don't sleep with my husband because I can't hear. I don't want him to get affected by what happens with me at night. So, you know, I've been married 11 years.
My poor husband's
years,
on
so.
The edge of the bed.
Yeah, so
we call
I
it
just
the
said,
family
you know,
bed.
I and also I really realized that I was pulling in a lot of his stuff. You know,
Aww.
I was pulling in a lot of his a lot of things that were going on for him. I was going through them myself, you know, because I'm real empathetic about everything, you know. So I realized that I need to stay very away from anyone when I'm sleeping, because that's when they usually do come. And I have many insights and many conversations with everybody on the other side. So I actually now, you know, say, you know, okay, you know, really have, you know, had to put the gates around. And even with that, there I'm like, I'm seeing them over there, and I'm like, okay, what do you want? And did I write get my pad out, and I write down, okay, who are you? Oh, you're so-and-so's son. I've got to, and then I end up having to call them and say your son can't, you know. So it's because they really need us, you know, and they're just
yeah.
desperate and wanting to give a message or something. So when it's like that, of course, but if they're just passing through, sometimes they're just passing through, and you're very open like a little beacon, and they just see you, and they come in, and they hang out with you for a while. No. I'm sorry, just move on, you know, I've got, you know, and I really get that it's a highway, an energy
oh, yeah.
highway when you are sensitive.
I tell my little boy, when you grow up, you're going to help so many people, and we've had so many miracles. He was his
oh,
little
yeah.
sister who passed away after he was born,
uh-huh.
She's come to try to help him. And she comes back and forth, and I know she won't be with us for long, but I actually saw her as well, and I was able to tell her we love you and we have a name for you, and he sees her, and it's just been amazing the past 24 months. And I always tell him, see, what about the little kids that can't find their way to the light or are having interference from other energies that are not allowing them to that light? I said so many, you never know with people. There's so many different situations that happen. So he's like, well, what's the situation? So I have to really try to break things down for him. But I just feel this strong, strong connection with children. And I don't want them to feel
and
the
I'm
way
sure
I do.
And I'm sure that is why, that is so why you are being placed in this position, because it is the next level and the next knowing, and how we're going to raise our children differently to understand this gift is what's really happening. So we can't do it anymore. We can't ignore this gift. We can't ignore this intuition. We can't ignore that this other side is very visible to lots of people. It's not this, like, you know, place that goes away. It's actually just another veil, and if a lot of people don't see that veil, they just see right to the other side. And so we're really getting that this has been going on, that the kids are coming in with this. It's not something they even have to know about. They just have it. It's like they are
yeah.
8 centuries. They're not 6 centuries anymore. They're 8 centuries. Imagine that. I mean,
amazingly
I was, you know, that's
gifted,
their eight.
Children.
Yeah, they have 8 sensories to their being. So wild stuff is happening. You're right. They are going to be the healers of the world, and they are going to be using the matrix, and they're going to be using pure energy work to, you know, to help get rid of a problem for people.
I believe that. I tell them,
yeah.
you're just as much as my teacher as I am yours.
Oh. Aren't they?
Because
the best?
I really believe I learned so much just from my children. And I get a little nervous sometimes because the responsibility is so great, but I love it, and I thank him for choosing me to be his mom, and how happy I am that I finally had him, because it took me a while before I was able to have him. And I just tell him, you came out smiling, and we just love him so much. But wow, thank you so much. You really picked up 100% on who I am and what I'm going through, and I think that your gifts are amazing as well, and your children are lucky. They're
I feel lucky though. I feel lucky. He's such an old soul, and he's such a beautiful. Everybody just said, "Oh, your son is so cool," and he really is. He really clears things up. He's very pragmatic. Mom, yes, no, that's it. Very not a affected, which is really wonderful because he either feels right to him or doesn't feel right. And that's as simple as it gets. And he's, which is really good. I like that. You know, he doesn't complicate anything by, worry. He doesn't have any worry at all in him. I just have to say that about my son. And I love that because I don't have any myself, but I realize that, it doesn't mean that he couldn't have it, but he really doesn't. He doesn't have any worry about it. He always says, "Mom, don't worry." And I'm like, "But I'm not worried."
Aww.
And he goes, "No, Mom, really, it's all good, you know?" And I'm like, I know. And so he's just a lovely human being. And I always say that, "Ben, you are so, I just love you. You're just," he goes, "I know, Mom." I said, no, I love who you are as a person. I said, "I'm really proud of you as who you are as a human being. You know, I really have to say you've done a great job so far in resurrecting your own spirit." And he looked at me like, "Thank you." Because it's his job, right? He did it. He came in to do this work, and I'm just acknowledging it. I'm not doing anything. I'm just acknowledging it. So
you're bathing him in love.
Yeah,
and what happens,
and that's what you're doing, Tina. You're accepting him for his gift at this young age. Wow, what difference that already has in the whole story of his life, think about us compared to him, So, his movement, his progression into his life is going to be accelerated amazing because he had you as a mom. But he chose you, for sure, to have this open experience of letting his gift be seen and heard at this young age so it can really develop, So.
Yes, and I believe, too, that he is a very wise old soul who really listens to his gut naturally.
Yep.
I mean, without me really having to give him any instruction in that area, he trusts him, his feelings, and I always let him know how amazed I am by what he shares with me. And when he has a lot of empathy for other people, and he'll tell me when he stands up for people or if he feels that somebody is maybe being abused behind closed doors, because he's, in school. So he will flock to the children who need some extra support and someone to listen to, and he'll stand up for people. And I tell him how proud I am of you for doing that. Because I really wanted to stress that some children do not have anybody when they go home from school. And they have a television or an empty room while their parents are doing whatever they're doing. And it can be very lonely. And so your friendship and listening and sharing and talking is such a wonderful gift. And I always compliment him, and I just think he's so beautiful. So it's so lovely to hear you talk about your son that way, because he is truly blessed to have you as a mother. And
they did pick us, and I always think, he doesn't really know what his mom does, but he knows I have a radio show. He knows that I know things. How did you know that, Mom? He knows that, but he really doesn't. I don't really want to put a name to it, because then I really don't want him to think anything about it. I just really know that I'm his mom. I'm Patty. And I think that through watching you as a human being is the best teacher, instead of me telling him. I think that, that is really who you are in the world. I mean, you watched how to love through how you saw your mom love, or how you saw other people love each other, or, so we got direction in some way by just seeing how the energy was around us. And kids are much more sensitive to energy than words. So I really got that.
Definitely.
I didn't have to say anything. He already knew, And so it really wasn't about, I really let him tell me. I really let him, I always ask a lot of questions, what does it look like? And he'll tell me, and how does that feel? And he'll tell me. And I don't give him anything. I let him tell me, because I want to be the student of him, because that's how powerful he is. And so I ask a lot of questions,
And it's amazing what you hear.
Yeah, I really believe them. I just say, okay, that's And then that's the difference. See, most adults don't believe the children. They just think that's an imaginary kid, that the imaginary friend they're talking to, or that they're having a nightmare. They just kind of, you know, wash away whatever that poor child is trying to tell you with just,
yeah,
oh, well, that's just that.
I always say sometimes when parents react that way, what's behind it is a couple of things. I said, number one, fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
Number two, if you can't see it or touch it or relate to it, then they just rationalize it as just an overactive imagination or you're dreaming, which will then make the child feel like I don't have any support and I'm going through this alone, and is there something wrong with me? And
right,
a lot of other things. But I always tell them I didn't have that as a child. And I'm going to stand up for you. And I said, so don't be upset with Daddy, because I think it might scare Daddy, because he's had a couple of encounters where he told me I had to have been dreaming, and that's the only way he can deal with it. And so we let him be where he is. I tell him that's where he is, and that's where he feels comfortable, just as our angels and our guides respect how we feel. They really respect our feelings, and they interact with us in a way that we feel comfortable with, and we need to let him be where he is, and don't take it as your father doesn't believe you. It's just that if he can't see it, then he doesn't understand it. But I believe you, and one day Daddy will. It'll either be later on in life or when he crosses over. But, you know, I always tell him,
it's not for us
we come here to
that's
learn.
What I think. No, I didn't come here as – I am not in this – I don't do what I do to convince anybody else. That's what I know. I don't – if
yeah,
you don't want to – you know, I don't even – you know, I meet people, they don't even know what I do. And I just you know, I just don't go there. I just feel like, you know, it's just I'm meeting a soul, and I don't want anybody to have a specific idea because I put words or label on it. You know, it's just not fair. And I don't even understand it sometimes, but I'm quite aware and comfortable with myself the way that I am. So that's all that really matters, isn't it, Tina? That you are okay with how you
are.
Well,
he was crying. He was upset, and I said, sweetie, don't think that your dad doesn't, you know, that he's not being supportive, sweetie. I said, you know, I shared a couple of things that Daddy saw, and that he just assumed it was a dream. And I said, you know, behind that too might be a little bit of fear. Or if that was really true in his mind, he would have to change the way he looks at the world, and he's just not ready. And I don't want to force Daddy to be anybody but himself. And so if you know that he goes, well, why do only we see it? And I said, well, we see it because we were born this way, and I think everybody has the abilities, but our senses, our other senses seem to be open, maybe a
more
little bit
tuned
further.
In, yeah. You're an eight, an eighth century, your dad's a sixth century, that's all. That's
so
all
I kind of feel like
it.
I'm a mediator in a way, where I want to help them understand that we can all be where we're at, and that it's okay because everyone sees life through their own eyes and have their own perspective, and that really is okay. But I'm here, and I'm so glad you picked me. And he goes, can you find other children that I can talk to? And I said, yes, I can, because I have a couple of friends whose children are crystal and indigo, and they have – it seems like they have a combination of both in them, but – it's wonderful that he knows that he can just be himself with other children who are like himself, and they can talk to each other and confide in one another. And so I'm trying to gather children as well, so that because, you know, unless you know who you are and you feel comfortable with who you are and you don't worry about what your neighbors think or your coworkers, it can be not so easy to step out of the closet if maybe your child has senses that you have that are maybe closed down, and they're trying to relate or trying to help or nurture or even understand what's going on, because they know something's going on and they really want to be supportive and get to the bottom of it. So I don't know, every situation is so complex, but I just kind of take it day by day, and I
That's
tell them,
it.
Look, I was born for a reason. Just lead me the way. But thanks for taking
well,
my
I
call.
Well, I do. I really, I'm just loving what I'm hearing. I just really want you to continue on saying, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Because I really get that you're going to be doing something in this avenue of letting children be rarely okay with their eight sensory, gifts. And this may be a place or a networking system that you can start. I just see that happening for you, and I just am loving it. So, Annie, I'm sorry to keep you out of this conversation. She is here.
I'm sorry.
I know that she's here. And so do you have anything that you are picking up, Annie, that might be of help to Tina?
Well, the only thing way back in the beginning, I picked up that this is your first book that you're writing, right?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, it is.
Way back in the beginning, my angels, especially this, two angels are constantly with you, and that's who guides you is the way you are with your children and yourself. And it was actually in the moment when Archangel Shamuel is actually the angel of love, and that's our topic today. He is constantly works with you. He works with on your creative part of you. So you were nudged by him by the love that you do behold in you. And Archangel Gabriel is the angel to ask to assist you with your book. He's actually the one you need to work with to help you through this, put it together. And they also nudged me to tell you, you may want to get a volunteer type or some type of job in, they were showing me the newspaper, because you can get, there's techniques that you might need in order to set your book in motion, as in how to get it published or writing it. You mentioned how you want to specifically write it properly so that.
Wow, I just have to tell you, okay, all three things that you just said, Archangel Gabriel actually, February 2nd, took me to the Hall of Records, and the only thing that I remember about that place was that it was a cross between a church, a museum, and a courthouse, and there were these beautiful marble floors and ceilings windows that looked like they were cathedral. They were never ending. And he told me word for word, be not afraid of change, Tina, for I will be with you. And I wrote it down because it was really such a defining moment for me. And later in the day I had asked, who was the guy with the wings? And I heard Archangel Gabriel. And I said, okay, well, where was I? And I heard the Hall of Records. I'd never heard of that before. And come to find out, there's a couple of names for that. But I'm not sure if I'm saying his name. I just say Chamuel, and please excuse me if I'm saying it wrong. But that name, those two angels, and then I also call in Michael. But I kept getting the feeling so many times over the past 6 months. I like to freelance write, and I've had four articles published: one on near-death experience, one on an angelic encounter, two others. One was a bleed through, and the other one was an encounter I had with another life force. And they were all published in the San Jose Examiner in 2008. And I kept seeing in the newspaper that they were looking for freelance writers. And I kept thinking, this would really be good because I really want some constructive criticism on my writing technique. So...
So
when you just said that, I was like, I have to tell her, she just hit it.
Right before this conversation started, they showed me this newspaper, and they were saying she needs to write. And so there you go.
And maybe that could be about Indigo Kids. Your article could be about Indigo Kids and who they are in the world. How do you know you have one? And get the conversation going so that parents can say, "This is my child. This is him. I want to know how to raise him so that he can honor his gifts." You know, so maybe that could be the start of the conversation that will continue. You know, people could write letters to you and ask questions about it and have some rapport. You know, like an Ann Landers type of thing. That's
just
right
amazing there. That she picked that up, because I was like, I like to put
that feels
both
really
sides
good.
Out. Yeah. And I thought, okay, guys. And I also thought about joining a book club where we can just constructively give our opinions on the format and how our writing, does it capture the reader's attention, say what you mean what you say, but do it beautifully and intelligently, but also be make it to where anybody could relate to it and understand it with how I'm using my word choice and just on and on and on. But I thought that might be something that would benefit me. And then also I want to volunteer in the hospice as well, because when I was 10, I can still hear that angel who spoke to me and was telling me that the truth was in the light. After I didn't believe what she was telling me, she told me everybody that I love would come through this light. That is how it has always been done, and that is how it will always be. I cried even harder for my parents. It was 1978. She finally said, look into the light, for the truth is in the light. And it was like so bright and so beautiful. And I knew that I would see everybody that I love again, because that's what the light told me. And I thought, I do not want to come back here, because I was, like you were speaking about earlier, I was in this euphoric state that is, I was just engulfed in so much love and joy that if you try to combine the love you have for your children, your partners, butterflies in your stomach when you first have that rush, when you're first attracted to somebody, all the joyous moments and just sort of like roll them into one, it is absolutely nothing compared to the amount of love that is waiting for each individual. And I thought, I am not coming back. And she said, it's not your time. You must go back. And I went to argue with her, but there was no time for arguing. She wasn't going to listen to what I had to say. I was just simply back in my body, and I was actually able to thank the man 32 years ago who refused to give up on me, and he told me that he felt that he was merely a tool in the Creator's hand that day. And I might be speaking to about 3,000 kids this summer, because he runs a camp, and I actually ended up drowning at the camp, and I just got a lot of wonderful tools that I could use to be a happy, healthy, successful adult from that camp, but also from the experience, and I just wanted to share it. So that may be taking place this summer, and I feel very comfortable on a stage, especially when I'm with children. I'm just speaking to them. I just see that there's such a need, because you never know what goes on behind closed doors, and they could be at a fork at a road, depending on their age and what they're going through and what the complexity is of what their home life is like. In the home as well as outside the home. So I'm hoping that if this is what I'm supposed to do, it will snowball and things will just work out, and I'm just asking my angels and guides, just lead me. So everything you guys were talking about, not only is a validation, do it, Tina. But especially with my son.
It's not a lot of work. It's like it's not really your choice. That's what I'm getting. They're just like laughing at you, you know, saying you she thinks she has a choice here.
I think it's wonderful,
that's a good
though.
Thing.
Yes. And they've just been so loving to me. Especially when I was afraid
love,
of it.
You know, we so want to hear about how it goes for you. Keep us up to date on how the book is going, because I can't wait to read it. And I do think that if you just go right to that newspaper and say you'd like to, you just submit a story. And
yeah, I was actually going
to
do that.
You're not
going
to have to. I don't feel.
I was
going to
submit
like,
a couple.
Yeah, just do it right now. Don't even go to point A, I've got to learn, because you already know. And they're telling me, tell her not to do that, just to second-guess yourself. So I'm getting that you have to just do it. Just go. You are a wonderful writer. Believe that. What you say touches people. People want to listen, want to ask the question within themselves. So it's perfect. And I know that if you do it, you're going to get on. They're going to say, sure, we'll publish something. And then maybe people will start to know your stories and look for them. And then that will get the book that's coming to be, something that people will look forward to. So
thank you guys
just,
so much. And I'll make sure I keep in touch. And I'm not sure how much time is left, but would I be able to listen quietly on mute?
Yes, you will definitely listen. You can listen, and I'm just going to take some more calls, okay? All right,
many blessings.
Tina. Many blessings.
Thank you, guys.
You.
Bye, Tina.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Oh, hi, Annie. I know you were there. I know I can feel her energy. So it was a beautiful conversation, though. Wow. I am just so blessed. Thank you for everybody for calling. It's just an amazing show so far. So hold on. Let me just going to take the next caller, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Hi. Who are we talking to? Hello? Hi?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, hi. Who are we talking to?
This is Lena from Florida.
Did you say Lena?
Yes.
Hi, Lena.
Oh, hi, Lena. How are you?
Hello. Good. How are you?
We're good. So do you have any specific question you'd like to ask, or would you like to ask the angels something?
I would like to see what the angels have any messages for me.
Okay. Okay, you, Annie, if you want to go right ahead, because I'm just going to start pulling some cards. So,
let me see. I'm getting a couple things.
Yeah, me too. And what I got was the first thing was energy work. Energy work meaning that you that it's like a healing work is needed for you. That's what I'm getting. So are you in a kind of a need for healing happening right now in your life?
Yeah.
Lena? Yeah,
yes.
Okay. It's real clear that they're saying you need some energy work, maybe some Reiki or something to help balance your system out, maybe some even angel work, if you can find an angel worker in Florida. But Reiki would be wonderful. So what they're trying to say is this would help you feel better. Again, life purpose came up. Life purpose means you have been into the dark places of yourself, in a sense. And in those big experiences is usually when you really have to get in touch with your big self, you know, the God self in you, the oneness that you have with the Creator. So is that is probably what you are working, these two pieces of healing through what has happened to you, in a sense. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, I've had a rough few years.
Yeah, and then I got clean and detoxify. So clean and detox would mean that they're really wanting you to do a clean up your act. You know, if you eat a lot of sugar, stop it. If you're drinking too much, stop it. If you smoke cigarettes, stop it. They want you to clean up your act, meaning get control over anything that is hurting your body. Okay? So that means a detox. That would be really good for you when you start to have a new, kind of take on a new energy. It's really good to get rid of the old stuff that's stuck inside. So healing work, a cleanse, would be really something I would look into, and that would help you feel stronger. And then the last card I got was focus on service. So what they're trying to say is, that when you do service, when you really put yourself out there and you really have love in your heart and love in your soul and you really are coming from a place of true understanding for every soul on this planet because you have withstood, in a sense, the hardest of hardships, you know, of your own, you know, in a sense, your own dark sides of things. So when you can really see that in yourself, then you can actually become a brighter light because you have experienced yourself at the deepest of yourself, of the hardest of times, you know. So in helping another person, it will help move you out of the stuck energy, okay? So they really want you to do some kind of service. I mean, do you do anything in service that now?
Oh, yeah, well, I'm going to school for nursing, and I volunteer
in hospital. Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right, so maybe that is what you will be doing. That's why the focus on service came up. So you will be in service of helping people, and that will be a beautiful experience for you. But they really want you to stay very healthy yourself, okay, if you know what I mean, so that you don't take on the illnesses around you, okay? So you have to stay very clean, you know, do your own work in a sense, if you know what I mean, because when you are around sickness or illness, it's a really heavy energy. So you have to be very clear and clean, okay?
Okay.
So do your work, meditate every day, cleanse yourself before you enter your house. You know, do a cleanse, like visualize like something sucking all the energy and just pulling it right out of your body and putting it somewhere else before you come home. And before you go to work, I want you to send your angels ahead of you. And, you know, you really, you're going to need to do this kind of thing to keep you balanced, okay? So, Annie, do you see, what was the card you pulled for her, for Lena?
Well, I've received the meditation. She needs to find some quiet time. I work closely with Archangel Raphael, Lena, so I will set, I've set an intention out that, and you can do this on your own also, when you just sit down to have a moment with yourself, it could be for a minute or take
three. I have a lot of moments by myself. That's just, you know, just I'm too lonely.
Well, Archangel Raphael, he's the healing angel, and he's with you right now, and he's always behind us. So if you sit in a chair, just imagine that you're being hugged by him. He's holding you, and imagine anywhere where you need healing, be it of your mind or anything physical that you might be, a headache, just imagine yourself with emerald green surrounding that area that needs ministering. And the meditation, just take three deep breaths and imagine each time that the angels are there giving you that the energy that you need and the healing. I earlier was seeing windows, and I was trying to figure out why are they showing me windows for you. Trying to see what the reference of windows meant. Do you live in a home full of bright windows or around nature?
Yeah, I do. I just moved on like a golf course.
Okay. Okay, that's what it is. They're showing me that you have a beautiful view, and that's going to be very healing to you, and enjoy it as much as you can. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just moved a few weeks ago. I was living at my other place 8 years.
Oh, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks. Thanks for sharing that.
Play,
but that's the thing.
Well, they do. They're really telling me you need to play. You trust. Trust your guidance. Time to go. Perfect timing. It's saying that you have changed, and it was perfect timing that you left where you were so that you could redirect your life and kind of get hold of it again and, you know, redirect your life into nursing and all that. So they're saying shower of abundance. So what their opportunity, and this card means opportunity to forgive. This is a real important card. What this means is, whatever has passed, whatever has happened, if you can in some way look back at it as a teaching, okay, as that person did this or this happened so that it could lead you to this very place in your life right now. And so there are no mistakes. They're just lessons, okay? So if you can really kind of look at it like, take a deep breath and say, oh, wow. You know, kind of view your past as just a movie without a lot of, emotion towards it. Just kind of view it. And in that view, just say, yeah, if that didn't happen, if this didn't happen, if I wasn't with this one, I wouldn't have gone here. And right here, right now is a beautiful new start for you. You know, and the angels are telling me to say, have confidence, and it's a blessing in disguise. So they're trying to say, hey, all is well. Even though it didn't look like a blessing in disguise, it was. You know what I mean? Because of all those things that moved you a certain way, up and down, all around, it feels like you were a little chaotic there in the past. But so you have finally landed. You have finally landed. You're going to be learning. And this is a good direction, and they're telling me for you to have confidence in yourself about this new endeavor. Important, very important to your spirit is to have confidence. that it's going to do well, that it can pass the test, that it's, you know, you're, if you're having a problem, send the angel in to say, please let me remember everything I need to remember. You know, work with your spirit guide. Work them all the time, because they're there for you. They're telling you to have confidence, that not to lose faith that there you are being guided. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it feels like you are in the middle of a story. You know, you haven't finished school yet. You just moved to a new place, so it's the beginning of a lot of new things. And in that, sometimes it feels like you're lost. You know, it feels like you're kind of not sure on what's real for you anymore. You know, but it is a story, and it's being told every day. And what I really want you to do is start to tell the story about your life. I want you to get a book and start writing every day in your journal, and start, you know, moving this energy out of you. Okay. It's real beneficial.
Okay, yeah, I've been told, but I don't think I have great writing abilities. I don't know.
It doesn't matter. It's more about just getting it out of your body, okay? Because that's very healing. It's just to move that energy out of you. So if you feel mad, angry, frustrated, any of those, you just write it out and then let it move on to the next page. But then I want you to also to focus on what you're grateful for. I want you to say, today I'm grateful for the sunshine. I'm grateful that I got past that test. I want you to have a grateful book that really every day you just are, even if it's I'm just grateful I woke up today, you know, I want you to really feel it. If you feel it, you write it down. If you're just trying to convince yourself, don't write it. Okay? I mean, really feel it. Like, feel the people that have helped you. Feel the sense of oneness with the world, the unity of the spirit. You know, try to find something every single day to be very, very grateful for. And really, that will move you through to the next level of life. It really will. Okay,
I guess I'd feel better if I was working. I haven't worked in 2 years, and my unemployment's running out in 5 weeks, so I'm, like, having a lot of anxiety.
Yeah. Annie, do you pick up on anything with the working?
I've been living on, like, you know, practically welfare.
And you are going to school, though, right? So.
Yeah, you know. But, you know, that's, like, 5-6 more years before I get my degree, because I've been going part-time.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking. If you can just get anything part-time that's in relation to what you're working or getting. Thinking of what angel, Archangel Gabriel, he's coming in a lot. He's a good angel who, when you wake up in the morning, set your day. Here, I have a message. Your angel came through. I have your guardian angel's name if you want her name. Her name is Mia.
Mm-hmm.
She's your guardian angel. She wanted me to tell you she's with you all the time. And you freely talk to her. set your stage. When you wake up, put it out there that today I'm going to have a beautiful day. I'm going to ask my angels to set in motion for you that you the work finds you, because you are ready to receive a job that it has been prepared for you. So just for my intention of that going out, there's Archangel Gabriel that I just invoked, that he guide you, and you'll get ideas of, say, if you're taking a walk somewhere, or you might overhear conversation that there's some sort of job opening. But I feel that there is something coming around you. Be a little extra sensitive to what's around you, where if you may be going shopping somewhere or just taking a nature walk or reading a magazine. There's a lot of, do you go on the internet or anything?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You may even want to take a local trip to the library. There's many people who post jobs there, especially in the business that you are looking. You mentioned it was nursing, right?
Yeah. I was thinking of doing that too.
I can't get it.
I see if you, Lena, I just saw that if you put your own little ad at a place where a lot of elderly people might go, a bingo hall or someplace in Florida, maybe a place, a market, and say, you could be an aide for them, you could help them shop, you could, you know, help them with their medications. Because you are getting the nursing degree, you do have a little bit of this background in you, so you could, it would help you in the future too. So I have a sense that if you put an ad, you know, just get a piece of paper, write out your what you want to do, how much an hour you'd like. You know, if you're an LPN or a nursing assistant or whatever you want to call yourself, you put that on the heading. I have a feeling, I'm seeing that too, Annie, I am, that if she just put the energy towards what it is you want, you will get it, okay? So I don't want any sitting around, okay? Energetic sitting around, none of that. And I don't mean just sitting around. I mean just not doing anything, just worrying about it. Don't do that. That's not necessary. We want to turn the energy around and put back the power into yourself. That it's not, everything is being divinely orchestrated here, and everything's fine. I know that, don't you, Annie? So I know it feels like you're getting worried, and I felt like you were getting anxious about not having money. So that's just a sign that now is the time to start to look, to put the ads out, to find what exactly you want to do, not just grab anything, okay? So will you do that for me, Lena? Yeah, do that. Even on Craigslist, you could go on Craigslist and put your job on Craigslist, what you were looking to do. I think you're in a good area where a lot of people do need assistance there, you know, in Florida. So it might be someone that needs you to do errands for them or help them clean their, you know, just an assistant, you know. And I have a feeling you will get it. And they'll be very nice people, and it will feel like, it won't even feel like work. It will feel like, you know, a really nice family feeling. So I see that happening if you can just put your energy towards that, okay?
Okay.
And so we're gonna, all right, we're gonna start taking another call, but please let us know how it goes for you, Lena. Okay. All right. Bye bye.
Bye, Lena.
Oh, bye, Lena. Hi, you're on Heart and Soul. Who am I talking to? Hello.
Hi, this is Sharon.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
And what was your name again?
Sharon.
Hi.
Sharon. Okay, Sharon. Okay. All right,
I
Sharon.
I don't know whether you was with me there or not.
I am. I'm listening.
This has been a wonderful show. I've really gotten a lot of information, and but my question is, what does my guides have to say to me today?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The angels right away said either you're getting a delivery of flowers or... they want you to put some flowers around you. See, that's Archangel Samuel for you. You may be
Buddy, that's my last name, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Really? Samuel is your last name. Wow.
No, flowers.
Flowers, that's what...
Oh, flowers,
right,
okay.
You know, usually, Sharon, my angels, they tell me a little bit about yourself, so... I am tuned into your energy. See, that's what they were saying. They were saying, I actually saw the vision. I was thrown flowers in my face. but it could be also the message that they wanted to, that I think you're going to be getting a delivery of flowers to you. Is your birthday coming up?
No, actually, my grandniece had a birthday earlier in the week, and we sent her flowers.
Okay.
So
it's definitely tapped into your energy. If I come up with your angels, a guardian angel's name, Would you like her name?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Assertiveness. Joy. Well, I just pulled about 10 cards, and they were all very, very, very favorable. I mean, there's new partner, which would indicate a lot of love around you, like things coming to you, new people that you're meeting. And so a new partner would maybe even indicate a new love. Steady progress. It's telling me that they're acknowledging the progress that you have made, and they are really very happy about how your actions of love have helped others. So they're very happy about that. Shower of abundance. That really is, and it's money. So I'm seeing a lot of good things like happening around you. You know, things working your way, maybe selling property, things are kind of finally moving. I also picked one card was wedding. So either you are going to be involved in a wedding, going to a wedding, or the feeling of love, of unity, of that, you know, what a wedding feels like, maybe a party, an anniversary. Something is coming your way that is going to be very celebratory and really fun for you. And it says also opportunity to forgive. Okay, so when that shows itself, this is a time that your heart is at a more open place, that anything that has happened with anybody in the past, it's a time for you to let it go, because in letting it go, you will start to feel, you know, better and lighter and feeling a lot more connected to yourself, you know, the real self that you are. So by letting go and forgiving, you benefit from it. So they're saying this is a perfect time to do that. And it says blessing in disguise, which would indicate there was some bumpy roads that you had to get through, and that you have to find that there was a blessing in disguise, that, like, you know, you lost your job, but then because you lost your job, you were able to hang out with your husband and he was ill or something, you know. So you're going to have to find the blessing in the problem or the situation that had happened, because that's what they're saying. It was a blessing in disguise. So everything is, I believe, a blessing in disguise if it's all how you look at it. And they're telling me it's for you to have confidence, to build yourself up, to feel good about whatever you do, and not to have any negative dialogue any longer. They're saying enough of that. So if you have a negative dialogue, oh, I can't do that, I'm not a good cook, or, you know, they want you to say no. That's not true. None of that is true. Have more self-confidence that anything that you decide to do is yours. So that's really good. I love that one. That's a really positive one. And the next card was assertiveness. So they really are telling me to tell you to get going on this, to have confidence and to be assertive on whatever it is. And the next one was joy. So that's really good. Joy, I feel the angels are saying, have, you know, if it is something you want to do, if you want to take that dance class, if you wanted to learn how to, you know, do the tango, they're telling you to do it, to not hold back on your joy, to be assertive with it, in a sense. You know what I mean? So the last one is to ground yourself. Grounding yourself, Sharon, is the most thing you have to do every single minute, because if you don't, you can get pulled away. People will take you into their mood and into their worry and into their illness. So being grounded is something that they're really trying to tell you to do every day. So how I do my grounding cord is I really send my grounding cord all the way through. I visualize a cord dropping all the way into the center of the earth. And when every step I take, I feel that cord connected to Mother Earth. And I feel that hot lava in the middle, and I bring up that beautiful red light, and I let that all the way come through the tubes into my body. And it's very healing and very calming. So when you feel like you're not, you know, if you're nervous, I want you to do that, okay? That's what they're really telling me to tell you about that. So anything about you, Annie? Did you see anything else?
Well, I did get her angel's name. Her angel just came right in and said, my name's June. Her name is June.
Okay.
The month of June. Her name is June. And she's the one that she's been with you when you were born. She really enjoys you and being your company. Do you play cards?
I haven't in years.
She's bringing that up because she really enjoyed that time because she felt you had a happy energy with that. A playtime. angels love playtime, so she's bringing up that she's with you all the time, so she really enjoys little activities that you do and little things that you put together. She's happily cheering you on. I did also, from the card, it coincides with Patty. There may be some situations you've been in with that you may hold on to. You actually need to, when you come across difficulties in your life or just situations, embrace it and then just release it. Only if you can actually help with the situation that came in your path, then you can move forth. But if it's something that you don't have control over, maybe because somebody may come to you with a problem, just be a listening ear and don't take it to heart and just let it go. Ask your angels to take that, because you actually did help the person or persons when you do listen to their troubles, and all you do is give a listening ear. But the angels, have them take it away from you, because it starts bringing your spirit down and you start feeling a little out of sorts, and it's because of the... We're all full of energy, and when we come in contact with people, we absorb some of their energies. But always a good protection angel. If you're ever coming in a situation, Archangel Michael, his color is blue.
Okay.
Just imagine him placing a blue cloak, his blue cloak of protection over you, and you'll start feeling a nice warmness around your heart, and you know that he's there working with you. But
Is that good, Sharon? We're going to just take another call. We've got only about 13 minutes left. But thank you so much for calling,
keep us on your
things to do list, and call us back let us know how it goes. Okay, love. Bye bye.
Thanks.
Okay, I'm going to take one more caller. I think we have time for one more. Hi, who am I talking to? Hello?
Hello, 610?
Yes, 610. How are you?
Good. Hi. I was just wondering if the angels had any messages for me about my marriage or career, either one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what's your name?
Eileen.
Eileen.
Okay.
Are you coming up on an anniversary?
Yes, actually. I forgot about that. Yes, it is June 24th, yeah.
Okay. I am tapped into your energy. They were telling me anniversary's coming. You wanted to know something about marriage and career. Okay, first thing I'm getting is they want to address your marriage. We'll talk about career. Marriage, you're saying to me, your angels. If I get a name for your guardian angel, I'm actually getting something. If I get it, I'll give you her name, okay?
That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Elaine, creative. I saw you. I just had a vision. Is your husband having some health issues right now that you're concerned with?
I just wondered about mental stability.
Okay, so it doesn't mean, it just means that you are noticing something that you're not liking. That's what it felt like. It was like you're having to deal, your personal person is having to deal with something that's not pleasant, and it felt like it was a struggle for you. So What I did get is that it's saying to ask, and to ask for the help that you need, to ask for the help that he needs, and then not to try to make it right before it's right, if you know what I mean. If he needs some help, then he needs to get it, instead of pushing it aside, you know. So they really want you to ask. They want you to ask for help in this. And it will help you, because it's hard to be the only one dealing with this. It does say energy work. So they're telling me two different things. They're saying you are dealing with your husband on this other level. He's not participating, you know, in life the way that you are, in a sense. So it's difficult for you. It feels like a depression. It almost feels like if I'm going to his health, it felt almost like a diabetes. It felt like that he had some issues. I felt very heavy when I felt into his energy. So, and it felt like a depression. I almost would call it that. But, you know, I mean, it just has a very dark energy around it. So it's affecting you, right? So the angels really, you need to go do some energy work for yourself, okay, and clear away the negative energies that he has. And again, every relationship has this, because we're very close to that person. That's why I sleep downstairs. I was just talking about that, because I don't want to take on my husband's work, in a sense, or what he's going through. So I'm a very empathetic person, and I was doing a lot of his work for him. So I'm guessing you have been doing that for him.
I think I have.
Okay. Well, we don't want to do that. You do not want to do that for your health, okay? You can love him, but you're going to have to separate from him, in a sense, spiritually separate from him. So what I want you to do is I want you to sit really quietly, and I want you to see your husband sitting in front of you, okay, just in front of you. And I am going to give you whatever appears to be something that, you know, a beautiful sword, okay, this big golden sword. And right between both of you, there's this cord. And, you know, I want you to see that cord. It's like an energy cord. Sometimes they're really thick and big, and they connect you to the heart or to the solar plex. And just see the cord, okay? And when you're ready and when it feels right, I want you to start to cut away that cord and see those cords just fly up into the air, and then see him just separately in front of you. And now take a deep breath in and really get some sense of yourself, breathing in your own space, your own energy, and disconnected from him emotionally on that level, okay? And you're letting him go, in a sense, on a spiritual level. You're letting him do his own work, which is really powerful, okay? He needs to do his own work. You can't do it for him. So really do this within the day, okay? Every time you start to feel yourself being pulled in, being kind of taken away from your center, I want you to do that meditation, okay? It's really going to help you, help you feel peaceful. You're going to take deeper breaths. You're going to watch him and not be so attached to what he does, what he says, if he's mad, if he's not, you know, all that stuff. It's going to be really wonderful for you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is the beginning of seeing that you are a very powerful being. And powerful beings sometimes do the work for other people. You know, they do. They do. And they don't mean to, but they do. And what we want to do is give back his power. Because when you give it back to him, you know what happens? He gets stronger. When you attach to somebody, you make them weaker. Okay? So think of it that way. Think of it, if I am attached to him, if I have any kind of thought, say, wish, anything, and I'm attaching that to his energy field, it's making him weaker. If I detach and I come back and I just own my own power, myself, I have like 6 feet in front of me, 6 feet behind me, 6 feet all around me with nobody in it but me, okay? So
thank
can you.
You
visualize that? I want you to do that. Please do that. It's really important that you do that, because we want to keep you here, okay? We want you to stay healthy. And if you are taking on someone else's work for them, it will drain you. It will make you heavy. It will make you sick, make you fatigued. It makes you very, it almost mirrors the same thing that he's going to be going through. So the best thing I could say is to really do this work, to cut the cords. It actually, there is, it's a beautiful meditation that you can listen to if you like to listen to meditations. I think you can buy that online. It's called Cutting the Cords That Bind You. It's a very powerful one to do. And that's really clear. That's what they're saying to do, to ask, to reward yourself, which means to get back your power, to do what you desire, you know, to really reclaim your spirit, okay?
Thank you.
Because you have a beautiful one. I mean, that's how beautiful you are. You're so powerful. But again, it feels like when I picked up on you, it felt like you were like a pool. And it felt like around you, you have been like, you know, like living for lots of helping and people and, you know, just doing like, you know, too much letting yourself spread out, you know. So I want you to pull back your energies and really start to bring them back in, breathe really deep, do some really good, deep breaking away meditations, okay? Is that helpful?
Oh, it really does.
Okay, love.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm on your side. I do know that you have been a very empathetic being, and I don't really know that you knew that, and so that's probably what you've been doing in your relationship for how long? I don't know. It feels like a really long time. So in that, you know, you get a certain way of being. You actually have forgotten how to have your own power just be yours, you know,
yeah,
because you kind of been living his for his. So you need to do this. This is the best thing you'll be doing for yourself and for him. What you'll notice, as soon as you pull back your power, you know what you'll see? You'll see him come to life. It's the most amazing thing. You'll see him start to live his own energy systems will start to activate, and he'll start to feel better because he's also connected to you. So if you're feeling, you know, you got this tube, this energy tube that's connecting you to. So it's not a healthy thing. You really want to keep it clean. And being who you are is a beautiful thing, but it's almost like if you don't realize how powerful you are, it almost overtakes energies around you. So, okay?
Oh, wow. Oh, was it like the solar plexus chakras?
The solar plexus where I saw this big cord coming.
That's what
so,
I saw. It looked like a
multiple. Yeah, me too. I was like, wow, that's a big one. Okay, so I really am clear that's it right there. If you can just get that beautiful golden sword and do your work every morning, every day, every time you start to feel yourself pulled in to the energy, that just get the cord and cut it all the time. It may take a month of doing it every day before you feel clean, you
really?
Know?
Okay.
Because it's so habitual. You know what I mean? It's a way of how your energies have connected. You know, so now they have to connect on this higher level. A real level, a real spiritual level, instead of this emotional, you know, tubing level. So it will redefine your relationship in a much more pleasant way. You won't really have any, you know, he might go through stuff and you'll be like, oh, that's him going through that. You know, you will be much more neutral in the experience of it. And it really will be in a beautiful way. It's almost like a mother watching her child fall. You know, you can have to realize that they have to go through that to learn, right? So you don't try to stop it. You're just watching with kind of a loving presence, you know. So that's really where you need to pull it back to. You know what I mean? All right, love. We're going to take another caller, but please keep us in your you know, consciousness, and give us another call if you have any more questions, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, love. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hi. You're on Heart and Soul. Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Who are we talking to?
I'm sorry. Brandy from Louisiana.
You're Brandy from I love your
Louisiana.
Louisiana. Wow. We love this. So, and your name is Brandy? Is that what you said?
Brandy, like the wine.
Like the wine. Okay, we like that. And do you have any specific question that you'd like to ask?
I'm just wanting to know what my spiritual path or, you know, if it's interconnected with my writing.
Mm-hmm. If it's interconnected with your writing that you're doing now, you mean your Okay.
I do. I write articles, but I want to write a book. I do more fiction writing, and I'm having a hard time writing like nonfiction.
Okay. All right. Let's see. And jump in because I'm going to start pulling the cards. So if the angels have any.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Towards the end of the call, I was picking up a writer. A writer coming on.
I have a very strong spirit.
Yeah, you sure you were coming through pretty well.
I'm also a psychic too, so.
Well, I see a lot of you have a lot of things going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the first card I pulled was "There's nothing to worry about."
Yeah,
that's a good one. That's what they were saying. They were saying law of attraction. So you know that, and then they're saying blessing in disguise. So sometimes when you have like a stopping period where you kind of like, I want it to be a certain way, that's when you need to let go of anything that you have thoughts about and just really let it just redesign itself kind of thing. So that's what I'm getting. Child came up, so again, child represents to me a new beginning, a new way of being, a new book, you know, something that's being
right.
birthed. So
I also I just had a new baby too.
Oh, okay, all right. So creative project is what you're working on. That's just my next part. So and then energy work. So do you do energy work? Are you an energy worker?
That keeps coming up. Anybody that I talk to, that keeps coming up. I really want to do like Reiki work, but it's just right now I can't really focus on my spiritual because I'm trying to get my physical and mental health back in order.
Right, right. And maybe the energy work is what you need to get then. It could be the card. Maybe it's like that will help you, you know. So maybe get some Reiki work done for cranial sacral or matrix, you know. Matrix is a wonderful work that's going on now. Try to look for that to help aid you through this time, you know. And it does say life purpose. So life purpose comes up, which means that you have been going through a lot of change, a lot of, you know, when I see life purpose, it almost feels a little dark to me. And it feels like you had to go through almost the dark days of yourself to feel the depths of who you really are, you know.
Right. I had to actually be hospitalized for the postpartum depression and also substance abuse.
Yeah. So that's why that came up. So, again, energy work would definitely help you through this. It's what I do. I mean, I work on lots of people, but I really get that when people are in great trying times within themselves, you know, they're trying to work a piece, you know, trying to get rid of something, this will really help, okay?
Yeah, I feel that I need it more like hands-on review work.
I agree. I would look through your neighborhood, look in your book, and see whether or not this.
Really weird. There's a business down the street that has the massage and also Reiki work. And I was going to try to go there because I have to go get surgery to have my tubes tied Tuesday. And I really feel strongly that I need like some kind of energy work before that.
Oh yeah, I do, or even after, especially after you have surgery, because they're cutting, and energy work will kind of reestablish the meridian systems and all that, the systems that got cut during a surgery. So I would totally do it before and after. I'd probably go right before you go for surgery, so you're in line, then you're at peace, and your body's in a really, you know, good healing place. And then I'd go after just to reestablish the meridians and the energy work from a surgery. So I'd probably do it twice. If I were you, and I highly recommend it. I mean, it really was clear that this was what you need to hear, need to do, because it will push you through the postpartum depression. Because postpartum is, again, you birthed a being. Okay, we think of that. You know, I mean, it's the biggest thing you'll ever do. Your body went through the most amount of change it will ever go through. So of course, it has to reestablish itself energetically, spiritually, and physically. So to do just one will not work. It has to be done through every level. So again, I hear you.
Yeah, I have two crystal children, and she has such a higher frequency than I do that it just, I think that's what put my body in shock.
I'm sure, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure, and probably you have to just tune it up a little, okay? Like if you picture your tuning fork for your body's energy system, just when you're around her, if you feel like you're at a 2, I want you to vibrate at about a 6, and you'll be able to handle her energy better, okay? So if you kind of, I want you to visualize like a little barometer right next to you, and if you, when you're around her energy and she's, you know, upset or doing something, just raise your vibration up to a 6 and you'll be okay with it. You will not be blown away anymore, okay? It's really up to you to regulate your energies to her, okay? Just like that other mother was talking about her son and how she has to see him and listen. I mean, she has to actually tune herself to him. Okay, so that's what you have to start to learn how to do. So Reiki will really help you kind of put your energies in a higher place of understanding, and it will realign you, you know, to his frequency. So I would do it for sure. That will really help you. I don't see, it says ground yourself, so I really am getting to ground yourself. You really have to do this every minute you can, okay, to help you with the postpartum, to keep you here, okay? Because postpartum is almost like your body just wants to leave. You know, it feels so bad.
Right.
So, yeah. So, you know, grounding cord, really important. You know, send that grounding cord. As soon as your feet hit that, you know, ground, when you send that cord all the way down and you anchor yourself into this earth and just bring up that beautiful red lava light all the way through your body, all the way up to your, and like a, and really let it, you know, permeate all your cells and soften up and go through every chakra and just really work it. And do this as much as you can, because that will keep you calmer and centered and really in the world and not wanting to leave, you know. So,
well, I have one more question. I have a feeling that I have endometriosis again. Am I right?
Endometriosis. Endometriosis, if you've had it once, is a very hard thing to get rid of, actually. It's a... Yeah, if you know you have had it, yes, you may have it again. And usually birth helps it. Usually birth breaks a lot of the connective tissue that endometriosis, you know, has got going on, because that's what it is. It's like this, like netting that happens in your and it's like, you know, it connects itself and it goes into your intestines and all that. So if you've had it, it's almost like a fungus that lives inside of you. I have actually read somewhere that it is a fungus and that it is a something that you can get rid of through a fungus cleanse. Can you believe that? I read that and it helped this one woman.
Wow.
That all along this endometriosis was like a fungus, was like a yeast infection that went crazy in her body. So she got all yeast out of her body, you know, stopped eating bread and stopped eating sugar, anything that fed it. So she got on a completely sugar-free diet and her endometriosis went away. So I'm getting...
Oh, wow.
That could be how you could look at it, is that's all it is. It's just a fungus infection that went crazy and that was never taken care of. And so if you don't take care of fungus, guess what? It keeps growing, right? So that's what endometriosis actually is, if you look at it that way. And so if you can get on a fungus-free diet, which means nothing that feeds fungus, which it means no sugar. So try that, and I think that you will feel better. You'll start to come alive. It may take you a while, you know, maybe a week or so to get used to it, but I think that would be the secret. And also that will help your postpartum depression to stay off of sugary drinks and caffeine and anything that increases.
I'm a Coca-holic, so it's going to be kind of hard.
Okay, well, if you want that endometriosis to go away, you really should get some water. just switch over to water and with a little lemon in it, and that will help detox your body. And just try, if you can, maybe use xylitol or agave or no Splenda, don't use Splenda, but you could use stevia. That's a okay sweetener. But anything like that. But try to get off that Coca-Cola. That's probably causing you more in depression than you know, because that saccharin is poison. Okay? So please do that. The angels are saying to do that. They're saying, time to let go. They're giving me, let your pet. So they really are trying to give you some information about how to heal this. So I really get that those two things, the sugar will help. Do some Reiki work. Ground yourself and really stay aware of what you're putting into your body, okay? It's got to happen, because that's what's making you have the reaction. If you think about you're having a reaction, right? You put something in and you have a bad reaction. You have to look at what you're putting into your body. Your body is just a receptacle of information, you know? So if I eat milk, for me, I can't do milk, right? If I have milk, I get a headache and I get a stomach ache, and all of a sudden I feel terrible. And then I never, you know, of course, when no one was aware of lactose and nobody knew that's what it was. So as I started to get more sensitive, I started to say, well, if I'm sensitive, then my body's sensitive. Then my body's telling me through how it's bad it felt, you know, to stop this or to stop that. So I got off the milk, and sure enough, I felt great. And then I'd have a cup of milk and I felt really bad. So I really got that I was aware through just taking it out of my system on how I felt. So try that. For 1 week, go without your soda and see if you feel better. See if your depression lifts. See if you.
Well, you know what? Whenever I was in the hospital, I had no Coke for about 4 days.
Uh huh.
And I felt really good.
There you go.
I just realized
that. There you go. Okay, so you know it's telling you, but you see, we're so used to, it's an addiction. See, everything is an addiction. Sugar is an addiction. You know, everything is an addiction. If you keep doing it, you get used to it. So all you really have to do is substitute it with something else. So make yourself get a big, beautiful jug of water, get some lemon, and get some stevia. Or agave, which is still sugar, but it's not the bad kind of sugar, okay? It's not going to raise your levels too high, too fast. And it doesn't have all that saccharin and all that crap in it. Please don't. That's such bad for it. And it has corn syrup. That is so disturbing to your body. Your body doesn't recognize it as food. It's just like pure chemicals. So think about, you know, only put pure things into your body, and your body will start to love you again. It will start to feel good. It will start to get nutrition back into your body. So really look at everything as medicine, okay? Everything you put in your body is medicine. It's beautiful. And it's from nature. It's supposed to be there. You know, it's supposed to be what you're eating. If it's in a box, frozen in a can, don't eat it. Okay? Real simple. If it comes from the earth, eat it. If it doesn't, don't eat it. And just do that. And just say, you know what? I'm going to love you, body. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take all these chemicals that I've been putting in you. I'm going to clean house. Okay? And I know that you will feel better. I want you to call me in 2 weeks. If you start today, call me in 2 weeks and let me know how good you're going to feel, okay? Because I just know it. And your endometriosis will probably go away too, because that is, again, a fungus. I really do believe that's a fungus. It's a fungus infection. It's like a growth thing, you know, and it's fed by what we give it. So just stop giving it and you'll feel better. Okay, love? So... Yeah. So I'm going to think of it. We've already gone over our time, and I think I've lost Annie. She's no longer here. She has.
No, I'm here.
They disconnected.
I was
going to
say, before we let Brandy go, Brandy, I work with Archangel Raphael. He's the healing angel. Huh. Bring into emerald green healing around where you need your healing, and just say, Archangel Raphael, heal me now. And just have that thought. He stands right behind us. I'm going to send Reiki energy healing to you. I do distant healing. And I asked before the show that angels send people who need healings today. And my intentions are going out towards your... I'm sending Reiki to you on Tuesday, where you're going to be. And I'll begin some, and I did start while we were talking on the phone for you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really is just one thing. So just do one thing at a time. It's not like everything. Just do one thing. If anything you do is stop doing the soda, okay?
Yeah.
And that's all. Just stop that. Everything else, then let that then move on into getting, in a sense, cleaner without the sugar. But I will send Reiki to you as well. I am a Reiki master as well. I will send it for you for Tuesday so that you will be protected during any your surgery, and it will be, you know, we'll just see it having no effect and you feeling like it was the best thing you did, and you won't feel. You know, it's nice to have a confidence in your body again, you know.
Right.
And that's what I want you to have, that your body's on your side, that it's not against you, and it's going to start to work the way it was, you know, in line and beautiful, and so you can start doing your work again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And write, and, you know, and when you feel better, the writing will happen for you, Brandy. It really will. You know, when you get all these situations kind of back away from you, and you will start to write beautiful things because you will feel better, you know. So, okay, well, blessings, everyone. Blessings, Annie. Thank you so very much for a wonderful show. We always go over our time. I didn't even see you on the I couldn't even see you anymore. The whole page went blank, so I didn't know who was on. So I'm so glad you're still there. But I'm really grateful for everyone that listened. And Annie, please keep in touch with Annie, too. She has this wonderful radio show. Annie, tell them about it so that they can tune in.
Well, if you just go to my website, it's www.talkandangels.com. It's talkandangels.com. And all my information is I have a show on Thursdays, and you can check out what I do.
Yeah, exactly. She does the same thing. You can call in on the show, and she works with a girl, Rita, who also does readings too. So if you have, if you can get the station, it's out of New Jersey, right? So,
right.
Or can they go through the web to get to the radio show too? Okay,
yes,
great.
It's all on there. It's Wi-Fi 1460am.com,
But it does go through the web, too. So everybody, go on her webpage, and you can find out when the next show is, and you can call in. And they have two-hour shows, too, so you can have – if we missed you this show, you can catch Annie on her show. So thank you, everyone. Most everyone that called in, I so appreciate you listening, your opinions, your insights, and your open hearts. And that's what this world is needing more of. So we are here and you are there. So from wherever you are, I want you to bring out your beautiful, loving self and do something magnificent with it. And that just means love, right, Annie? That's all it is. That's all you have to do. And blessings, everyone. Well, I will let everyone know when Annie will be coming back, okay?
Okay.
Bye, sweetie.
Love you.